Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
We are on the air. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, of course, your information station on Solar Eclipse Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was going to talk. My friends are really getting tired of hearing me talk about it.
Allison has enough enthusiasm for the entire Hill Country.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And the eclipse here in Hill Country, the eclipse will gradually start at 10:23 this morning, and the moon will start gradually going across the sun, and it will reach the peak at 11:52, and it will last about 4.5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then it will gradually, be back to normal about 1:30. 1:33 to be exact.
And we'll be, Allison will be telling you about that a couple of times at least during the program.
At least.
I should probably talk about, on our way to the station this morning, I said, because we're driving a different vehicle, and I said, okay, our normal bag that we carry show materials in is in the trunk, and it's usually right in front of us while we're driving. So I said, I hope we didn't forget it. And she said, well, I could spend 2 hours talking about the eclipse, which is true.
Did I really say that?
Well, you sort of. See, as far as the radio is concerned, you said it. But yeah. We are Bill and Allison.
Yeah, we drove a car today that does not have a back seat.
That's right. We are Bill and Allison. We are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth. Justice.
And the American way.
We are never PC. Politically correct. We are
politically incorrect.
PI, exactly. Most of all, though, we strive to be BC. Biblically correct. And there's a trigger warning, by the way. Alice and I and everyone at the Hill Country Patriot are non-binary. We are non-binary. And I'm Native Texan. Allison, you are?
I'm a Native American.
Native American. Okay.
I'm a Chickasaw Indian.
And by the way, the last couple of weeks you said you hadn't decided on a preferred pronoun yet. Well, I suspect I have one for you. I haven't told you about this, have I? No, I have not. Just shake your head.
You sent me a clothing idea. And
this is preferred pronouns, not clothing.
Yes, yes. You sent me a t-shirt.
I don't remember. Okay. Well, anyway, what I'm going to tell you maybe
it has my preferred pronouns.
Okay. Well, I'm suggesting maybe I've tipped my hand on doing that. I don't remember. conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy theorist, aren't you? Well,
yes, I am.
Well, there's two ways to look at history. You can either believe in the believe in the conspiracy theory of history or the coincidence theory of history. And I'm telling you, more things are a result of conspiracies than there are mere coincidences. Of course, there are coincidences. But Allison, as a conspiracy theorist, I think your pronoun should be told you so.
That's exactly right.
And anyway, we like to begin our program with a verse. This is from the Epistle of 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John Flavel, a Puritan writer, wrote, whatever we have overloved, idolized, and leaned upon, God has from time to time broken it and made us to see the vanity of it, so that we find the readiest course to be rid of our comforts is to set our hearts inordinately upon them. Something to ponder. Something, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, we have a little Texas history for you. In 1845, this week, the voters of the Republic of Texas approved an ordinance to accept annexation to the United States. The vote, 4,245 in favor of joining the United States, 257 against. So that was pretty overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
The population was a little smaller then, too. They also adopted the proposed state constitution by a similar vote. So that topic of joining the United States had been discussed a lot in Texas, really, since the Louisiana Purchase in 1803. Most Texans, obviously, were in favor of joining the United States. They voted for it as early as 1836, but there's some reasons that they didn't. They didn't do it till 1845. They were afraid of war with Mexico. That was a probably the main thing. And there was a lot of controversy of adding another slave state to the Union. And in 1890, Dwight David Eisenhower, General of the Army and 34th President of the United States, was born in a two-story frame house. A lot of people think, oh, he's from Kansas. But he's not. He was born in Denison, Texas. How about that? Denison, Texas.
Okay, well, we're talking about Texas. Of course, we live here, so of course,
we talk about Texas
a lot. Are you done with history?
I'm never done with history, but at the moment, I don't...
You don't have any more?
Well, no, there is one more, if you want to talk about the Galveston hurricane, which we did a couple of weeks ago. The worst natural disaster in the history of the United States, 1900, the Galveston hurricane. Of course, back then, they couldn't predict a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So they had no idea it was coming. And it killed how many people? Elsa, you know this.
Well, they don't know exactly. It's somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 people.
Okay.
And there's a wonderful book about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that by...
Eric Larson, I think.
Eric Larson. Do you remember the name of it?
Isaac's Storm.
Oh, right.
Isaac's Storm. Yeah, if you're interested at all in Texas history and the worst natural disaster, Isaac's Storm by Eric Larson, who's written several other books. I'm in the middle of reading his book now on the Lusitania.
Okay. Yeah, he writes nonfiction about historical things, and he's a delightful writer.
You really get into it. It's like reading a novel, except everything is true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's really in 1900, newspaper publisher William Randolph Hearst hosted a charity bazaar at the Waldorf Astoria in New York to benefit children orphaned by the hurricane from Galveston. And he set up, through that benefit, Protestant Orphans Home in Galveston, and it's still there. It's now called the Children's Center. They don't have orphans' homes anymore, though, do they?
I know.
Like Home for Wayward Women. they don't have that anymore. Debtors' prisons. What do happen to all the good stuff?
I know.
Gee, changes. All change is bad. Okay, you had something?
Well, I was going to tell you. This June, our governor, Abbott, signed a bill into law that signifies the end of annual vehicle inspections for non-commercial vehicles. Did you know that?
So we don't need to get our vehicles inspected anymore?
That's correct.
Well, as of when, though?
It takes effect January 1st, 2025. Yeah, really. I mean, why not make it effective day after tomorrow?
Because the vehicle inspection lobby petitioned
them. Oh, you know they were upset.
Yeah. Yeah, although, you know, they don't make much money on it, but still, you know, it's like, you know, every vehicle has to be inspected. That's 10, 20 bucks a pop, so they do make money.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the vehicle inspection lobby said, okay, they were probably told, look, we got to pass this. People are, you know, a lot of states have gotten rid of vehicle inspections.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, the federal requirement was expired or gotten rid of in 1976, and there are only 12 states that require yearly testing for vehicles.
There you are, because it's pointless.
Texas is one of the last states to remove annual inspections.
Yeah, it's pointless. If your vehicle is spewing emissions, you know, black smoke, you're going to get pulled over and ticketed.
Oh, yeah.
If your lights are out, you're going to get ticketed.
Yeah, I remember when I was young and I had a crummy car, my seatbelt was... There was something funky about my seatbelt, and therefore I failed my test. Mm-hmm.
I think what you told me was torn partially.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was still functional, but part of the cloth material was torn.
Yeah.
But it still worked just fine.
Yeah. Okay. So no more vehicle inspections, you know, in 2025 anyway. Well, this week, actually October 12th, which is the traditional Columbus Day, one of the greatest pianists ever, yet little known today. He was born in 1910. His name was Art Tatum, and he is certainly one of my favorites. He's been for many, many years. Again, not as well known as he ought to be. We're going to hear a little cut from one of his songs, but I just want to tell you a little bit about him first. He was virtually totally blind, almost totally blind. He just had very limited in vision in one eye. He was self-taught. He learned tunes from the radio and from records. He played by ear. He had perfect pitch. But despite his blindness, he became what many musicians say, even today, he was one of, if not the greatest improvisational pianists. A lot of musicians, after hearing Art Tatum play, including such famous people as Oscar Peterson and Bobby Short, were overwhelmed and began to question their own abilities. Now, I know you have something to say about Bobby Short, don't you?
I do. We got to meet Bobby
we
Short.
We sat down and had a...
Probably a lot of people...
Part of an
maybe,
evening.
Maybe some people don't know anymore. But we have a friend whose uncle was a...
Larry Hart. Yes. Larry's actual name is Lawrence, L-O-R-E-N-Z, he was named after his uncle, Lawrence Hart of mm-hmm. Rogers and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how Bobby knew. He knew Bobby Short and all that.
Yeah, and we were at a performance with Larry.
Yeah.
And Bobby Short.
Bobby Short, very nice guy.
Came over and sat down.
Originally from Danville, Illinois, which is, for a small town, Danville is really something, because it's Bobby Short is from there. Gene Hackman is from there.
Isn't Dick Van Dyke?
The Van Dyke brothers, Dick mm-hmm. and Jerry, are mm-hmm. from there as well. I mean, that's pretty amazing for mm-hmm. a town of about, I used to live there, about 30,000 people, whatever it is. So that's pretty amazing. Anyway, back to Art Tatum. A lot of people, a lot of famous musicians, including Oscar Peterson and Bobby Short, were overwhelmed when they heard Art Tatum and actually began to question their own talent. Some musicians, including Les Paul, stopped playing the piano altogether and switched to another instrument after they heard Art Tatum.
No kidding.
Yes, that's wow. If Art Tatum, can't possibly compete with that. What you're going to hear is one of his legendary performances, T for Two. And by the way, Art Tatum improvised this, again, while he was virtually totally blind. Couldn't read music. His sight wasn't nearly that good. He could only, as I say, see partially out of one eye. He improvised this while he was blind. And the composer of T for Two, believe it or not, was Dmitri Shostakovich, who was not known for composing popular tunes. But he composed it in 30 minutes as part of a bet, Shostakovich did.
Wow.
So here is Art Tatum, T for Two.
Thank you.
That was Art Tatum. Not well known today, but many people think the greatest improvisational pianist ever to live, and being almost totally blind, couldn't read music. But what you heard was his improvisation. Art Tatum, whose birthday we celebrated this week.
Happy birthday, Art.
Happy birthday, Art Tatum. He passed away in 1956, by the way. Quite young. Well, on a more serious note,
yes,
this is kind of hard to believe. So I just got picked this up last night. Fairfax County School Board member Abrar Omish, who in September of 21 opposed a resolution honoring the victims of 9/11, now she opposes a moment of silence for victims of the Hamas attack.
She's one of them, I guess.
She's one of the victims?
No, one of Hamas.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
she's
clear.
Obviously.
I mean, why would you
so
do...
She's
why,
supporting
first of all, why would you
she's
oppose...
She's supporting Hamas.
Yeah. Yeah. Her father, Issam Omish, has served as director of the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia. The mosque was attended by two of the 9/11 hijackers, as well as the shooter in the 2009 attack on Fort Hood. And this woman, Fairfax County School Board member, her his daughter, Abrar Omish, they elected her in Falls Church, by the way. That's an elected position. She disparaged the idea of, quote, humanizing, in her words, the 1,300 Israelis that we know so far, murdered by Hamas.
Wow.
She opposes even a moment of silence for victims. Wow. She opposed. You know, we are seeing in this situation in Israel just how evil some of these people are.
Yeah, I've read about some of the ways they, some of the things that they did to people, and I'm not even going to say it out loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, they say, oh, well, it's coming to America, and it might. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, look at the open borders we've had. We've let people in from almost every country in the world, unvetted. We don't know who they are. Just let them in. And there could be terror cells waiting for their instructions.
Probably some people think that, oh, we're just being anti-Mexican, that the people
has nothing to do
who
with
are
Mexico.
Coming here from Mexico, but that's not true.
Oh.
They come through Mexico and across our border.
Syrians?
Yes,
and,
yes,
and
exactly.
Iranians?
Exactly.
And, oh,
that's
yeah.
Exactly right. But a lot of people don't realize that.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's not all Mexicans. It's
yeah.
not. I
yeah.
don't know if it's majority Mexican. It might be the majority Mexican, but it's a good chunk mm-hmm. of non-Mexicans.
Exactly.
South America, Venezuela is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But they come from terrorist countries, and we just come on in.
Exactly.
And we give them money.
Yeah.
Last I heard was $2,200.
Mm-hmm.
I heard another figure of $600. Let me see what I've got here.
Well, any money is too much.
Well, it is. It is. This is an amazing story. Henry Kissinger, who has always been a pro-globalist. In fact, he's known publicly as the mentor of Klaus Schwab, who's in charge of the World Economic Forum, as you probably know. So he's always been a globalist, pro-immigration. You know what Henry Kissinger's saying now?
I just read that yesterday. I was yeah. absolutely shocked.
Yeah. Europe has let in too many foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they're totally different culture and religion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a grave mistake. It's painful to see what's happening in Europe. Kissinger said, quote, it was a grave mistake to let in so many people of totally different cultures and religions and concepts because it creates a pressure group inside each country, which is a 180 shift from his previous position. Well, thanks a lot, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've destroyed the many countries with your pro-immigration, just let them in and no vetting or anything else, just let terrorists in.
Yeah, oops, and he saw what happened when that was allowed.
Now he sees
and,
what happened.
Yeah, now he sees.
How many of us were saying, this is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
They
well,
won't, it's
right
one
from
thing,
the get-go.
Like my grandparents coming from Eastern Europe.
Well, they came here legally.
They came, number one, came here legally, and number two, they assimilated into U.S. culture, in American culture.
Right.
And my dad said, and his mother was Austrian, his father was Polish, my grandmother and grandfather. They said, we, in our home, we speak English. We're in America now. They would not speak the language. And even among themselves, they wanted to speak English. And they assimilated. And that's great. That's fine. But these a lot of these people don't assimilate.
No.
You know? I mean, so this is a total 180 for Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to see it, but, you know, he's probably too old to make any difference now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not advisor to the president anymore. He's advisor to Klaus Schwab, if you can imagine such a thing.
Well,
when we come back, you've got something going when we come back? Because I do.
We have a lot going.
Well, that's true. Well, one thing, we're going to stay on this subject a little bit. You're going to hear a cut from the Judiciary Committee in the House that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Stay tuned for that on the Bill and Allison Show, the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
You betcha.
You can hear us anytime, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
It's where we post our shows. And if you want to download them to your digital devices, you can do that right there, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, staying on the subject as we talked about before the break, according to a Department of Homeland Security report, 61,471 migrants from special interest countries entered the United States in fiscal year 2023, mostly single adult males from countries subject to travel warnings by the U.S. State Department due to terrorism. They were released into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a national security risk to the United States, but the Biden administration doesn't seem to care about that. 280 countries, 34 of these countries were special interest countries, which potential terrorism is what they're talking about. Because Allison, before the break, pointed out, you say, oh, well, you're against immigration.
Mexicans.
Yeah, you're racist. Well, 5,600 Afghans in 2023, in the fiscal year 2023 so far, 3,000 Egyptians, 2,500 Somalis, 2,500 citizens of Bangladesh, 1,300 Pakistanis, 1,200 Eritreans, 1,000 nationals of Tajikistan and Kazakhstan. Also from coming into the United States and released into the United States, young single males from Iran, Syria, Morocco, Jordan, Djibouti, Iraq, Yemen, Turkmenistan, Algeria, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and the United Arab Emirates. A lot of Western African nations, the Middle East, India, Pakistan, and China. In just one day in September, more than 240 migrants from special interest countries entered the United States from Mexico and released into the United States. State of Texas has bussed more than 50,000 migrants out of Texas to leftist sanctuary cities out of state. And that's driving them nuts, of course. And when he sent them to Martha's Vineyard, they couldn't get rid of them fast enough.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's okay in Martha's Vineyard. It's okay, for a non-white person to be there as long as they're doing your yard work.
Exactly.
And it's during the day.
Exactly.
But other than that, no.
Exactly.
The Democrat mayor of New York City, who once advertised New York as a sanctuary city and celebrated the Biden's move to stop the construction of Trump's border wall, now says the migrants will destroy New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, will destroy New York City.
Well, welcome to living in a border state.
Yeah, and we're talking 5,000, 50,000 migrants.
Mm-hmm.
A fraction of what Eagle Pass and mm-hmm. Del Rio and places like that on the border are putting up with. That's still. We had 11,000 migrants cross over the Texas border in a single day last month, okay? You know, and I'm not too concerned about them rioting and all that. Rioters say, you know, they riot in the Democrat-run cities, the big cities, but they're saying country folks are next, rural areas are next. Well, I tell you, you got to stop and think that country folk are going to, they're willing to sit 30 feet up in a tree all day just to kill something. Just think about that.
I was just going to say, we're armed out here.
Yeah.
we country folk.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But here is a here's a cut from Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado, who sits on the House Judiciary Committee. He is talking to a witness, and I think a lot of what is said here is not very well known, and that's why, Allison, I thought it would be good for us all to pay attention to it.
The illegals, when they cross into the country, they want that MTA, that motion to appear in court. Is that correct? Now, Mr. Lyons, could you tell me for sure, when they get this MTA, does that automatically qualify them for benefits?
Yes, it does.
So you're telling me they come into the country, they turn themselves in, and then they get the MTA, and they are qualified for benefits from the American taxpayer?
Yes, sir.
Do we have any idea how much those benefits run, or how? Any idea? Have you heard that, Mr. Lyons?
Up to $800 a month.
$800 a month. And so I understand, too, we give them a cell phone.
Yes, we do.
Have y'all heard that? We actually give them a cell phone. My kids would probably rather come across the border, honestly, sometimes.
Yes, sir.
So we give them a cell phone that they can jailbreak and use it however they want. My understanding, go ahead, Lyons. I'm waiting. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, it was just they give them that phone so that they know where they're at. But we have a 95% failure rate to appear for those motions.
So you mean they take our phones, but they don't take our phone calls? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir. Yes, it's the worst state.
Man, that does sound like my kids. Now, Dot, one last thing, and then we'll get off, and I'll give Mr. Jordan. I didn't have a timer over here, Jim. Am I over time?
You're definitely over time.
The benefits continue,
I'm definitely over time.
But the benefits continue.
The chairman says I'm definitely over time.
Well,
you can
ask your last question.
Last question, Doc. So 100% of the immigrants, when you deliver the children, you have to give them car seats, I understand. So, because the federal government requires you. Isn't there some rule that says you can't send a child away from hospital without a car seat?
Correct. CMS rule, we cannot do that.
So we're buying all the car seats as we send them on the way and paying for all the health care, and you're $26 million in debt, basically.
Correct.
Well, that's your federal government at work.
Yeah, Congressman Ken Buck from Colorado talking to an administration official, a Biden administration official, about some things that I didn't know. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. That's Allison, I didn't know, so that's why we decided to do that.
Yeah. We knew they got benefits, but we didn't know how great they were.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, the latest, by the way, benefits. The Biden administration is saying that if banks and lenders might be prosecuted if they consider immigration status as a primary factor when denying credit.
Wow.
So they are prioritizing illegal immigrants over legal citizens.
Wow.
Yeah, that just came out the other day. Director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
CPFB.
Yeah. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is the name of it, yeah. CFPB. He said that lenders cannot use immigration status as a shield for what he called illegal discrimination.
Wow.
Okay, so it's illegal to discriminate against illegals. That's what he's saying, or something like that.
Okay. Well, you were talking about, you were referring to October the 12th. Well, I want to talk about October the 10th, which was just a few days ago, and that's the day when mathematicians salute the metric system's use of the power of 10 to measure things, like the satisfying fact that water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. Did you know that?
Probably. Probably one of those things you learn in school and you immediately forget because you wonder why it's useful.
Okay, but the United States is holding on to gallons, pounds, and yards. but you can find the metric system in use in rural Arizona. I-19, which runs between Tucson and Nogales, is the only highway in the country that is fully marked by kilometers. It was a pilot test from President Gerald Ford's failed push in 1975. Do you remember that?
Yes.
To get America hooked on the metric system. Mm-hmm. That was miserable. And locals have preserved their quirky highway signs ever since. That's the only place in the country.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the metric system. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know the Congress voted against it, that we couldn't use the metric system a number of years ago. That was official vote against the metric system. I don't really know why that's the case, but...
I think we Americans were just too stubborn. We did not want to use it. I think that's why it failed.
Well, that's because foreigners use the metric system.
That's right.
We don't want to use them damn foreigner system.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah. After all, that's right. Yeah. Well, speaking of the government, it occurred to me the other day, Allison, I don't think I asked you this question. If the government can just print money, why do we pay taxes?
Good point.
Why do we have to pay taxes? Just print money.
Good point.
I'm going to start a, maybe run for office, and that'll be my platform. Just print the money. We don't need to pay the taxes. Moving right along.
Well, okay, just the other day at Dunkin' yes. Donuts, a customer was captured on video. She was berating the store employees at the Dunkin' Donuts and demanding she get 50 donuts after she ordered a dozen. "I need more," she screamed. 50, 50. That's what a dozen is. We're talking about numbers.
She went to public school?
Another customer told her 12 is a dozen, to which the woman shouted, "I need more than 12. I want 50. And she later continued, "You understand nothing. You're not understanding the English language. Do the math." And she was caught on video.
Wow. Wow. A dozen is 50 to her.
Yeah,
Okay.
How about that?
Well, as I said, we've got Mark Robinson coming up. And if you haven't heard Mark Robinson, you are in for a treat. But before we talk to or listen to Mark Robinson, during the past three fiscal years, this just came out this week, $4.1 billion in federal money has been flowing to LGBT initiatives in the United States and around the world. And Epoch Times, which is a great newspaper and website, found this out. They did research. The U.S. government, in the past three fiscal years, issued more than 1,100 grants to fund LGBT-promoting projects around the world, such as a $1.8 million grant from the U.S. government for the LGBT Life Center in Norfolk, Virginia. How about $500,000 for, quote, LGBTQI plus people in Serbia? Serbia.
This is our tax dollars?
Our tax dollars, $500,000.
That is disgusting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just disgusting.
How about $1 million from U.S. taxpayers to empower the LGBTI, they can't decide what letters they want, community in Armenia, a tiny country next to Turkey.
Wow.
What else have I got here? Okay. Total of grants connected to the keyword LGBT, which at Epoch Times, did, that's how they researched, $3.7 billion combined. So a 4.1 total, I guess. Some of the numbers are a little screwy, but an independent researcher, says Epoch Times, who asked to remain anonymous, has been tracking how the federal government spends money on grants related to gender ideology. He started the work when he was laid off from his oil field job in the early part of the COVID pandemic. He was shocked to learn that while he and his friends got little relief from the federal government, taxpayer dollars in the billions poured into LGBT activist causes. One discovery revealed an ongoing grant paid to Emory University so researchers can study, quote, the rectal mucosal effects of cross-sex hormone therapy among U.S. and women from Thailand who are transgender. Shouldn't make me happy. When we come back, we're going to listen to... The Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, has some very interesting things to say about this subject. We'll listen to him in just a moment.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, and first couple of TexasRadio.com.
We are back, and as we promised, we've got Mark Robinson in the dock, and he is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, and he we thought it'd be good to follow up on this discussion we just had about the federal government funding all the gay and trans stuff. This is Mark Robinson.
There's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And you can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. And I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read instead of teaching them how to go to hell.
There you go. Mark Robinson, who is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. He is running for the governorship of North Carolina. And at the moment, he is leading the pack in the Republican primary. So he's the number one candidate for the Republicans in North Carolina to be the next governor.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah. Well, you know, the U.S. Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, who is totally sold on getting rid of all fossil fuels. She's, you know, it can't happen fast enough for her. She the other day embarked on a 4-day road trip in an electric vehicle to promote electric vehicles. Didn't exactly go the way she planned. She drove from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Memphis, Tennessee. She was trying to draw attention to the billions of dollars, our dollars, that the Biden administration is pouring into green energy and clean cars, so-called. She made passionate town hall stops along the way, advocating for reshaping Americans' lives by transitioning from gas-powered vehicles to electric. We have a cut from the U.S. Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, telling you how excited she is about this.
Right now, we are witnessing the beginning of one of the most significant events in human history, the clean energy transition. It is long overdue, and it can't progress fast enough.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Granholm. Well, her road trip didn't exactly go well. NPR sent a reporter along. And the NPR reporter said, when Jennifer attempted to reserve a charging spot, actually her staffers attempted to reserve a charging spot for Granholm's electric vehicle in advance of her arrival, one of the station's 4 chargers was broken. The other 3 were in use, and you know it takes hours. So an energy department staffer tried parking a non-electric vehicle by one of the working chargers to reserve a spot for the Secretary of Energy. This did not go over well. because a family was blocked by a gasoline-powered car. In other words, the staffer parked a gasoline-powered car by one of the electric chargers to take up the space so nobody else could use it until Granholm arrived with her electric car. Well, these people who pulled up in their electric vehicle and found that this gas-powered car was parked in front of it, they called the police. So Granholm got the police called on her.
That reminds me of what we did.
Well, I know, in a minute. Another issue the Secretary of Energy Granholm ran into was, despite what they called painstakingly mapping out the trip ahead of time to be sure there'd be enough chargers, her team had to stop at hotels with slower level 2 chargers, which take you all night to charge, and then had to stop at faster chargers between cities. And of course, that meant a lot of extra work that gas-powered vehicles don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem on this fiasco of a trip was the fact that the chargers, as I mentioned, aren't fast enough, nor are they reliable enough, according to NPR's report.
Mm-hmm.
NPR said, of course, having a super fast charger doesn't do you any good if the dang thing doesn't work, unquote. road trips have been very difficult in electric vehicles. We've reported on that. A lot of other people have reported on that. In one example, a reporter from the publication Business Insider learned what he called brutal a road trip in an electric vehicle can be. When he was forced to bundle up instead of using the heater in his electric car to try to maximize his range. In other words, he was running out of battery power, and it was the heater that was sucking a lot of the power off the battery, so he had to turn it off in order for the vehicle not to die. So he turned off the heater, and after the trip, he commented, quote, "I'd be lying if I said I didn't curse these silly electric cars under my breath." Under my breath.
Did
you notice we were told to lower our AC usage on hot days to prevent overwhelming the electric grid while simultaneously being told to trade in our gas cars for electric vehicles? I mean, does that make sense? If your electric car runs out of power on the interstate, do you walk to a charging station to get a bucket of electricity? I mean, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Now, we have estimated 400 years, some people say 500 years, of fossil fuels left in the world. Don't you think that sometime during those 400 or 500 years, the next 400 or 500 years, we might come up with something that's a reasonable alternative to fossil fuels? But this is crazy, absolutely crazy. Now, you had something to say, Allison.
Yeah, we were, this is quite a few years ago, before electric vehicles were all that popular. We were in Los Angeles. We were going to a TV show taping, and we get to the parking lot. It's a relatively small parking lot. The only spots that were left were for electric vehicles. So we parked in one and pretended that our car was electric.
Yeah, what we did was... take the electric vehicle charger
the cord
that looks like a kind of a gas pump.
Put it into our gas
and we put
tank.
It in the hole for the gasoline pump, and so it looked like we were charging our car.
But it was back before many people were driving. Well,
that's
electric
true,
vehicles.
But they, anyway, that but that worked. We didn't get into trouble for that.
Exactly.
And it's
my point is they were all of those spots were empty.
Yeah, the electric. That's a good point. Yeah. All the EV spots were empty because people didn't. This was California. This was 10 years ago, something like that.
Least,
15
yeah.
years ago, and they didn't have a lot of electric vehicles.
Exactly.
Oh, that's hilarious. We're Bill and Allison. We're going to be back after the news, so stay tuned for that and some important announcements. Stay tuned to the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Well, on this show, we often beat up on Disney on what they have become, which is far away from Walt's original idea.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Disney produced more homosexual content in their videos and movies last year than any other studio. Second place didn't even come close.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Walt, I'm sure, is rolling over in his grave.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he would not recognize his creation.
Absolutely not. There was a time when Disney was a brand for children.
Mm-hmm.
They protected the innocence of children, didn't expose them to this stuff, or the transgender or whatever. Disney's aimed at little kids.
Mm-hmm.
They released 59 films last year. 24 of them were pro-gay or trans films.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's grooming. That's not just representation. That's
exactly
grooming. When you put 2% of the population in 41% of your movies, that's propaganda. When you put 2% of the population in 41% of your children's movies, that's grooming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recently was talking about how stupidly expensive tickets are to Disney World. Well, guess what? They're going up. The park's most basic tickets at Disneyland, which is in Anaheim, California, the least expensive option will run you, as an adult, $104. And at Disney World in Orlando, which is most people from this part of the country would go to the one in Orlando, it's $109. And they've just announced that kids tickets will start at $50. What it goes up to, I don't know. But it starts at $50. Parking is $30. Unless you're staying at a Disney hotel, whose rates start at $125. And I don't know if the most basic room would hold a family of four. You know, mom and dad and two little kids. And if you don't want to wait an hour in line for rides and exhibits, you can pay extra for that. Isn't that
what?
Incredible? Yeah.
Pay extra not to stand in line.
Because otherwise, you could stand in line for an hour to go on a ride.
After paying all that money.
Yes, exactly. And okay, so Orlando, for mom and dad and two little kids, it's going to be $318 just for entrance. Then you pay $30 to park. And a meal, a quick serve where you go up to the counter, pick up your food, and, you know, take it to a table. So this is not fine dining. It's going to be about $60 per meal. And assuming that you go...
Per meal for how many people?
Four people. Mom and dad and the two kids.
Okay.
That's per meal, but assuming that you're going to get there early and stay until the fireworks, you're going to be eating two meals. So, in other words, minimum for one day at Disney World in Orlando, $468. And
wow.
that doesn't count your hotel room. And that's for one day.
That's just spending a day in the park, not counting your hotel.
Yeah. And how many people do we run into all day long who are, oh yeah, I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah. Better rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
Better rethink that. A lot of people are rethinking Disney, as we said.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, did you know there's a new book out? I haven't read it yet. But it's called The Joy of Costco.
No.
Now I have the joy.
I haven't heard of that.
I have the joy of cooking, which I've had for many, many years. But The Joy of Costco, it's written by David and Susan Schwartz. And when they approached the company about writing the book, at first Costco did not, I think they were afraid that it would be negative. So they did not cooperate. But eventually they decided to cooperate when the couple promised not to give away any of their secrets. But according to the book, The Joy of Costco, the company sells half of the world's cashews. Half the entire
Costco
world.
Costco sells half the world's cashews. Why?
It also sells. It tells you how many people shop at Costco, and it also cashews. Sells 700% more hot dogs annually than all major baseball stadiums combined.
Wow. Well, you know, I can understand that because for years Costco, you can buy a hot dog, a large hot dog, and a drink for $1.50 at Costco. And that's been the case for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised at the hot dog sales. But the cashews, why not peanuts? Why aren't they the largest
I don't know.
Seller of peanuts?
I don't know.
Cashews.
Cashews.
Okay. Did not know that. Well, Mike Lindell, the Mr. Pillow guy, is in big trouble. He's got real trouble. According to the New York Post, He's auctioning off equipment, subleasing some of the manufacturing space after several major retailers, including Walmart, Bed Bath & Beyond, of course, they're beyond bankruptcy, Kohl's, Wayfair, and I'm sorry to say HEB stopped carrying MyPillow products because, at least I think that it's pretty clear, because he's so conservative and outspoken about Trump. And the government is going after them. American Express cut MyPillow's credit line by 90%. There's an extensive campaign waged against Mike Lindell and the MyPillow brand. He said, Mike said, we've been with them 15 years. We do all of our online marketing, all of our shipping with them. Out of the blue, they took our credit line from $1 million down to $100,000, and that just cripples MyPillow. He said they did it for no reason, no explanation given. He said it's part of an all-out attack on MyPillow. And I mentioned he's auctioning off equipment. He said MyPillow has lost $100 million in revenue due to retailers and other companies halting sales of his products. He said it's been a massive, massive cancellation. We've been attacked by the box stores, the shopping networks, the shopping channels. All of them did the cancel culture on us. As I said, Walmart doesn't sell MyPillow products. They've even taken off their website. Very disappointed HEB would do this. Very disappointing. Now, about a year ago, you may remember that Mike Lindell was sitting in a fast food restaurant. FBI agents came in and seized his cell phone. He says, Mike said, they surrounded me in a Hardee's and took my phone. He says, I don't have a computer. I do all my business. I run my business, everything, from my phone. What they've done is weaponized the FBI. It's disgusting. Everything was on my phone, and they told me not to tell anybody. They said, here's an order. Don't tell anybody. Well, I am telling people, as Mike said. But unfortunately, he's in debt by millions of dollars. He says he's out of money. And he said, MyPillow's been decimated. We've lost hundreds of millions. He said the other main assets he has left are his home and his pickup truck. And he blames a lot on the news media, including Fox News and Newsmax. Hmm. You know, he didn't specify what they did, but he said they're partially responsible for killing off or trying to kill off MyPillow.
Well, while you're talking about cancel culture, a great woman has been erased from history because of it. Because syrup, a branding of a syrup was a tribute to this woman's gifts and talents. Now future generations will not even know that this beautiful woman existed. That's a real shame. The world knew her as Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima,
but
sure.
Her given name was Nancy Green, and she was a true American success story. She was born a slave in 1834 in Montgomery County, Kentucky, and she became a wealthy superstar in the advertising world as its first living trademark. And she was 56 years old when she was selected as a spokesperson for the new ready-mixed self-rising pancake flour and made her debut in 1893 at a fair and exposition in Chicago. And she demonstrated the pancake mix, serving thousands of pancakes, and became an immediate star. She was a good storyteller. Her personality was warm and appealing, and her showmanship was exceptional. Her exhibition booth drew so many people that special security personnel were assigned to keep the crowds moving. Nancy Green was signed to a lifetime contract. She traveled on promotional tours all over the country and was extremely well paid. Her financial freedom and stature as a national spokesperson enabled her to become a leading advocate against poverty and in favor of equal rights for all Americans. She maintained her job until her death in 1923 at age 89. Hmm. I did not realize it was that long ago.
No, I didn't either. So, yeah. But they took her picture off the box, didn't they?
Yeah, she was a remarkable woman, And sadly, probably a lot of people today don't even know who she was.
Aunt Jemima. Well, I didn't know her background. I thought she was like a made up figure or something. And they mm-hmm. put this black woman on mm-hmm. the box, which I took off. Why? Because it's
of course.
Why?
Because of cancel culture.
I would think having black people on boxes would be a good thing. But
that's true.
But you know, they took her off. I don't understand that at all. Speaking of that, people of color, just saw a news article the other day. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission requires companies with 100 or more employees to report their workforce demographics every year. Well, 94% of corporate America's new hires are people of color.
Wow.
94%. So the strong suggestion is that you don't look to hire white people, even though they are about 60% of the population. By the way, that's down from 85% in the 1980s. So with illegal immigration, that number is down by millions of people. The fact that we're violating the Constitution and hiring by race should horrify people. But it doesn't bother corporate America, because in corporate America, 94% of the jobs went to non-white people. And that's just virtue signaling. But mm-hmm. It's illegal. But apparently when it's turned around and white people are discriminated against, nobody bothers to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
The merit's out the window, racism and sexual perversions are in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you seen any TV commercials lately? You know what I'm talking about. When we come back, we mentioned Walmart. Got a little thing I think, Allison, I think you'll enjoy. Some things you don't know about Walmart. We'll be back in a moment. Kinky Friedman singing Resurrection.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, first couple of TexasRadio.com.
That's right. And before we get to the Walmart story, wanted to tell you about another story that came across our desk just, yesterday, I think? You know, Joe Biden proudly says his son Hunter is a good man. A good man. Well, it's come out that the IRS considered felony charges against Hunter Biden for an account he drained. And how he used the money and whose money it was just came out. His daughter's Maisie's college fund. Hunter liquidated it to pay a drug dealer and prostitutes, as you do. Emails from Hunter's abandoned laptop, you know, the laptop from hell, everybody knows about that, show he had just 44 cents in his personal bank account. Now, how do you do that? Your dad's vice president and president of the United States. You're in bed with the Chinese communists who give you millions and millions of dollars. You sell your stupid so-called artwork for hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is just paying off Biden's, the Biden crime family. So he had 44 cents in his personal bank account. He was warned by his bankers of, hey, you got 44 cents in your account, because he doesn't have any sense. So he doesn't know what he has in his account. So he told them to transfer funds from his daughter's college savings account and used it, according to the laptop from hell, sent payments to his drug dealer and prostitutes, emails on his laptop show. And these revelations were made public in testimony before the House Ways and Means Committee by a whistleblower IRS agent, Joseph Ziegler. You know, why were people, by the way, not worried about, were worried about Trump being a Russian agent, not worried about Biden being a Chinese agent? I mean, remember from the laptop from hell, Hunter said 50% of whatever he makes goes to Joe, his father, the big guy. He gives half his salary to Joe Biden. So that's the Biden crime family for you.
Well, that was the weirdest trip to the nail salon I've had in a long time. There was these girls beside me just talking really, really loud. I try not to listen to other people's conversation, but they were talking so loud it was like they wanted you to hear. So they live in a mobile home park, and they were talking about this family where there's a husband and a wife, and the wife passes away from like cancer, and the husband then marries the babysitter. It's later found that he was taking showers with his daughter when she was much too old. There's an uncle that's sleeping with his niece, a brother who is banging his dead brother's widow while having an affair with her sister and simultaneously knocking up a stripper. Except here's the kicker. This family didn't live in the mobile home park. They live at the White House. This was the first family they were talking about, the Bidens. And that's who's running our country.
Well, all I have to say about that is roses are red, Kamala's not black, Joe's got dementia, and Hunter's on crack.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, my, my, my. Well, you are listening to the Bill and Allison Show on the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station. And, you know, we talked about Walmart a little while ago and promised you something about Walmart that Allison and I found that we thought was pretty cool. Don't know who it is. I wish I knew. But he makes some good points. Oh, it's time for a break? Well, I didn't know that. All right. We're going to take a break and then come back to that.
Very quick break, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back after and tell you some things about Walmart. Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot.
First couple of texasradio.com.
First couple of texasradio.com, where you can hear all of our past shows, our podcasts, and exciting things there. First couple of texasradio.com. Well, we promised you some really interesting information about Walmart, stuff that certainly we didn't know, and here it is.
Americans spend $36 million at Walmart every hour of every day. This works out to $20,928 profit every minute. Walmart will sell more in January 1 to St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, than Target sells all year. Walmart is bigger than Home Depot, Kroger, Target, Sears, Costco, and Kmart combined. Walmart employs 1.6 million people, the world's largest private employer, and most speak English. Walmart is the largest company in the history of the world. Walmart now sells more food than Kroger, Safeway combined, and keep in mind they did all this in only 15 years. During this same period, 31 big supermarket chains sought bankruptcy. Walmart now sells more food than any other store in the world. Walmart has 3,900 stores in the USA, of which 1,906 are supercenters. This is 1,000 more than they had 5 years ago. This year, 7.2 billion different purchasing experiences will occur at Walmart. The Earth's population is 6.5 billion. 90% of all Americans live within 15 miles of Walmart. You may think I'm complaining, but I'm really laying the groundwork for suggesting that maybe we should hire the guys who run Walmart to fix the U.S. economy. This should be heard and understood by all Americans, Democrat, Republicans, Independents, everyone. To all 435 members of Congress and the 100 members of the U.S. Senate, the majority of you are corrupt morons. Consider your record and reflect on your performance. The U.S. Postal Service was established in 1775. You've had 247 years to get it right, and it's broke. Stamps cost 63 cents and may be going up in November to 66. Social Security established in 1935. You've had 87 years to get it right, and it's broke. Fannie Mae was established in 1938. You've had 87 years to get it right, and it's broke. The war on poverty started in 1964. You've had 58 years to get it right. It never went anywhere, and you stole from our Social Security Fund $1 trillion of our money is confiscated each year and transferred to the poor, and you want more. Medicare and Medicaid were established in 1965. You've had 57 years to get it right, and they're broke. Freddie Mac was established in 1970. You've had 52 years to get it right, and it's broke. The Department of Energy was created in 1977 to lessen our dependence on foreign oil. It has ballooned to 16,000 employees with a budget of $24 billion a year, and we import more oil than ever. You've had 45 years to get it right, and it's an abysmal failure. You have failed in every government service you have shoved down our throats while overspending our tax dollars. We have a president that had 36 years of experience as a U.S. senator and 8 years as vice president. A president that promised to build back better. Our current president is the epitome of a corrupt career politician. We elected an immoral, unethical freeloader that never had a plan except to live on the public dole, a scoundrel who bends to the way of political winds and can't even finish a sentence without losing his train of thought. And you want Americans to believe you can be trusted with a government run anything. Folks, keep this circulating. Maybe we'll end up in the emails of one of our elected officials. They never read anything, but maybe their staff will clue them in on how Americans feel. If you don't think we need to drain the swamp, then you just plain don't think. And please try to understand what's wrong. We have lost our minds on career politicians and political correctness. Someone please tell me what the hell is wrong with people who run this country. We are begging Venezuela for oil. We're broke and can't help our own seniors, veterans, orphans, or homeless. In the last months, we have provided aid to Haiti, Chile, Turkey, and are funding the world climate change, and now NATO, Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Pakistan, previous home of bin Laden, literally billions of dollars. Our retired seniors living on a fixed income receive no aid as our southern border is overrun by illegals. America, a country where we have homeless without shelter, children going to bed hungry, elderly going without needed meds, and mentally ill without treatment. We can't take proper care of our citizens. However, illegals get everything free. They are put up in hotels, fed free meals, health care, and cash. Imagine if the federal government gave us the same support they give to illegals in other countries. Albert Einstein once said, "The difference between genius and stupid is that genius has its limits."
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but he makes some really excellent points.
Exactly. Did you know, Bill, that a group of Chinese diplomats is being recalled from the United States?
Didn't hear about that story.
Mm-hmm. Their mission is munching on bamboo and looking adorable for visitors at Smithsonian's National Zoo.
Oh, you're talking about pandas.
Absolutely. There are currently three giant pandas living at the the National Zoo in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
And they're being returned to their homeland in China in early December because the loan agreement is expiring.
I didn't know they were on loan. I thought they were gifts.
I didn't either. Well,
Ling and Bing Bing or whatever?
I think they died.
Oh.
I lived in D.C. For many years, and the pandas were such a big deal. Like when there'd be newspaper and radio stories about them trying to get pregnant, and they were constantly failing. It was funny. I think those pandas are either gone or maybe they died.
I heard a comic once. He said, I say the most inappropriate things. He said, I was on a bus with a lady. There was a lady on the bus, and he said she was obviously pregnant. And I said, when's the baby due? And she said, what baby? Because you never comment on a woman that looks pregnant because she may not be. And she says, what baby? And this guy says, the baby panda at the zoo. I just thought I'd ask you, a perfect stranger, when the baby's due.
Well, but seriously, it was really a big deal in Washington, and after the three pandas at the National Zoo leave, there will only be the only giant pandas in the United States will be a family of four at the zoo in Atlanta, and they are expected to be repatriated next year. And likewise, the UK has to send their pandas back in December.
So they were all on loan?
And while and Australia could become pandaless next year. Some China watchers are suggesting that the winding down of the country's so-called panda diplomacy symbolizes a new era in its foreign policy.
Well, yeah, we don't like you guys anymore.
Yeah, they have been gifting pandas since the Tang Dynasty in 618.
Hmm.
And in modern times, the communist-ruled country gave two pandas to the U.S. in 1972.
I know. I remember Nixon. After Nixon, so-called, opened up China.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, China started loaning pandas on multi-year contracts that could be extended. Mm. It's been a mutually beneficial arrangement for the country, the host institutions, and the bearers who had been living in the wild.
Oh, bears. Oh, they are bears. They're panda bears. I wonder, what are you talking about bears for? Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're bears.
Yes, I guess they are bears.
But yeah, they boosted zoos' revenues by attracting crowds.
Mm-hmm.
While China was at one point charging $1 million per year per bear. How about that?
What, charging? What do you mean? To buy one?
No, to lease it.
to lease a bear?
To lease the panda.
Lease a panda, $1 million a year.
Uh-huh,
wow.
Uh-huh. So China used the funds for conservation, and the giant pandas graduated from endangered species, which they were when we first got them.
Mm-hmm.
They are now on the vulnerable.
Which is better than being endangered.
Oh, yeah. Much better. Much better.
Yeah. I guess I'd rather be vulnerable than endangered myself. But no, that's an interesting story. I didn't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. Well, if a country can have what they called in China panda diplomacy, if they can have that, I would think that any country that has a unique animal could do the same thing that China did. For example, Madagascar is, among other things, known for their sloths. So they could have sloth diplomacy and give sloths, tree sloths, to other countries.
Except they aren't cute like pandas.
Oh, you don't think tree sloths are cute?
Well, they're not that bad, but they're not as cute as pandas.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot.
South America has, when I was in Brazil, and the guide showed me these termite colonies that were just absolutely huge. They looked like gigantic anthills, but they're termites. And so Brazil could do termite diplomacy.
Yeah. Well,
no, he did tell me something interesting, that the, I'm trying to remember, was it the ants? No, it's the termites invade an ant colony and take the ants as slaves. And they have to go to work for the termites. I thought this was crazy, but it's true. I found out it's true.
Oh.
The termites are smart enough to enslave the ants and put them to work.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't believe that,
okay,
do you?
Okay, well, while you're pondering that, get out a pen and paper and write this down.
All right.
What makes this number so unique?
Okay.
8,549,000,000.
Wait a minute. 8 billion?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
549 million.
Okay.
176,000.
Okay.
320.
Okay. What makes it unique?
Uh-huh.
It's higher than I can count on my fingers.
Okay. That's not the answer.
Hmm.
It contains each number, 0 through 9, in alphabetical order.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. Did you
hear that
the other day one of Joe Biden's advisors came to him in the office and said, "Mr. President," he said, "I have some shocking news." "What is it?" He says, "Overnight, there were 30 Brazilians who were killed. 30 Brazilians were killed overnight." And Biden said, "Oh, my God, that's horrible. Now, how many is a Brazilian again?" There you go.
That's a great one. I love that.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, I like that joke too. Well, we're wrapping up, but you've got some important stuff to talk about, Allison.
I do. anybody who's been near me for the past several months.
Yeah, really.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Here in Hill Country, we're having a ring of fire.
And it burns.
Ring of fire eclipse. It's also called the annular eclipse.
But it's not annual. That's annular. A different word.
Annular. That's a ring of fire.
Ring of fire.
And it starts at 10:23 this morning in Hill Country.
Very soon.
Mm-hmm. And it peaks at 11:52 and will last about 4.5 minutes. And then it will gradually go away and will end totally at 1:33.
So it's a slow projection. It's slow.
It is slow. And our weather is looking beautiful. So it it's been cloudy all week, but it looks like today is going to be clear. So we will be able to see it. And people all over the country will be able to see it, but they will have a partial. But here in Hill Country, we are going to have the full eclipse.
Here in God's country, He blessed mm-hmm. us with a full eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you see it, but don't look at it with your bare eyes.
That is absolutely critical that you have eclipse glasses, and just sunglasses are not good enough. They have to be eclipse glasses.
And a lot of these events going on and around Hill Country, they have glasses available for you.
Mm-hmm.
But do not look at you. You might think, oh, this isn't hurting me. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It doesn't actually hurt. Looking at it doesn't hurt, but it will damage your eyes. You could go blind. You could go blind.
Yeah. I mean, there's other things I'd rather go blind doing than staring at the sun. What?
Terrible.
Well, time flies like an arrow, you know, Allison. We're wrapping up here. Fruit flies like a banana. So you can chew on that one for a while. We're Bill and Allison. Looking forward to seeing you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Allison. You did a great job running the board as usual.
Thank you, Bill.